This is a hugely significant case that should concern all Australians, because of the core of it, which relates to someone giving information allegedly in the public domain that was subsequently reported, which was some of the early significant reporting about Australia's misconduct, indeed war crimes committed in Afghanistan. Now, obviously, subsequently, since that reporting in 2017 by the ABC, we've had the Brereton inquiry, we've had the Ben Robert Smith Federal Court judgment that's provided a lot of additional detail that some of the earliest reporting, in addition to other reporting done by the likes of Nick McKenzie and Chris Masters and so on, was done by the ABC. With the Afghan files, which is alleged to have been leaked to the ABC by David McBride, and he is being prosecuted for that. The prosecution comes at a time against a wider backdrop of attacks on whistleblowers in Australia. We saw Bernard Collaery and Witness K prosecuted for exposing Australia's espionage against Timor-Leste in the mid-2000s. Witness K was given a suspended sentence. Bernard Collaery pleaded not guilty, and ultimately the Federal Attorney General dropped that case last year. There's another whistleblower currently being prosecuted, Richard Boyle, who exposed wrongdoing at the tax office. And then the David McBride case, most prominently, starting on Monday. These cases raise fundamental questions about democracy, transparency, and accountability in Australia when the people on trial are those who have sought to speak truth to power, help expose wrongdoing, and made Australia a better place as a result. We are all better off because we know about what's been done in our name and we can demand accountability and we can demand justice. But why is it that it's the people who've done that, who've helped us understand what's going on, who've helped bring transparency and sunlight, why is it they who are on trial, not the wrongdoers? Just the wider context is that federal whistleblowing law says that you can speak up about wrongdoing, you can speak up internally first, you can speak up to oversight bodies, and as a last resort or in certain emergency circumstances, you can go straight to the public, or after you've tried to speak up internally and to regulators, you can go to the public. And if you do all of that, you're both protected from prosecution, from lawsuit, from losing your job. And if you do suffer negative consequences, you can sue for compensation. That's what the law says on paper. Unfortunately, the federal whistleblowing law is full of loopholes and inconsistencies. It's overly technical, it's overly complex. The federal government admits the law is broken. The Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus KC, who introduced the law a decade ago when he was last Attorney General, has said that he recognises it's not working and it needs to be fixed. Unfortunately, we have these two cases where people thought they were following the law and now they find themselves on trial. You'd think that that immunity in federal whistleblowing law would prevent these prosecutions. In the case of Richard Boyle, he argued in his defense that he was immune from prosecution, and the judge found that the immunity only protected the actual act of blowing the whistle, not relevant prior conduct. So Richard had gathered documents, recorded conversations, etc., to inform his whistleblowing, firstly internally, then to the tax ombudsman, and then ultimately, as the last resort, to the ABC and to the Fairfax newspapers. And the judge said the immunity only protected the actual whistleblowing, not things that were necessary to blow the whistle. He appealed. That appeal is pending. The Human Rights Law Centre intervened in that appeal. We'll get a judgment soon. In David McBride's case, he also argued he was protected by whistleblowing law. That was due to be heard last October. On the eve of that trial beginning, the federal government made a national security claim over key documents that meant that he was forced to withdraw his defence. That was a really extraordinary thing to happen because secrecy laws already protected that case. So if the government wanted key documents heard in secret, they could have done that. Instead, they prevented McBride from using them entirely. He had to withdraw his case. That means that he goes on trial on Monday without access to a whistleblowing defence. Both of those situations are extraordinary, but I think if we can zoom out to the wider backdrop, prosecutions happen because the Commonwealth Director of Public Prosecutions thinks they have reasonable prospects of securing a conviction and because they think it's in the public interest. We have consistently said it's not in the public interest to prosecute whistleblowers. And it's particularly extraordinary in the present case because the Commonwealth Director of Public Prosecutions, as people will remember, in 2019, the ABC were raided by the federal police in relation to this story. So the raid was in relation to the Afghan files reporting. The Commonwealth Director of Public Prosecutions reviewed the brief the police put together and said, we could secure a conviction of the journalist, but we don't think it's in the public interest to do so. Now, that was, of course, self-evidently the right decision. The ABC shouldn't have been raided in the first place, but very fortunate that the police and the prosecution didn't proceed with the case against the journalist. But if it's not in the public interest to prosecute journalists, how is it in the public interest to prosecute whistleblowers? David McBride's lawyers yesterday, or the day before, posted on Twitter a letter that they'd received from the Attorney General in response to a request from the lawyers asking for the government to intervene. So, under law, there are two people who can stop a prosecution: the Commonwealth Director of Public Prosecutions or the Attorney General. The Commonwealth Director of Public Prosecutions has shown no sign of stopping this. There's been a significant number of requests, including from groups like Rex and myself, seeking and Rowan and indeed Hattie, and we were all in Canberra advocating for this last month. The government has resisted those requests and formally declined to intervene in response to that letter. So it's Friday. David McBride's trial starts on Monday. There is, unfortunately, at the moment, no sign that that will change. So, as things stand, David McBride's trial will begin on Monday. I understand there'll be a few days of preliminary legal argument, followed by a jury being impaneled later in the week. And then that's scheduled to run for a number of weeks. For those based in Canberra, there's a rally outside the court, sort of starting from 8 a.m. with speeches at 9 a.m. The trial starts at 10 a.m. I just do want to underscore, I know it's sort of a lot of people have said it, and in some ways it's becoming a bit trite to say, but it just, again, I find astounding that the first person on trial in relation to the horrific conduct that Rowan and Hattie and Shara have discussed. Yeah, I think one of the reasons we were keen to have this webinar and have this sort of blended focus of the war crimes and the whistleblowing is because we can't lose sight of the underlying wrongdoing. Like that's what matters here. David McBride helped expose it, and his case is profoundly unjust. But what is even more unjust is the fact that we are focusing not on addressing the wrongdoing. And Rowan and Hattie have talked many times about the delays in accountability. The Brereton report had all of these recommendations, some of which have been delayed, some of which, issues of compensation and redress. The government is sort of blaming on the Taliban's takeover, but there are other ways it should be being pursued, which it isn't. But on Monday, the person on trial is the person who is alleged to have exposed the documents to the ABC, not any of the people who have alleged to have committed the war crimes. That is not good for our country. It's not good for our democracy. It's not good for accountability and transparency in Australia. But as things stand, it is going to happen.